You're listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins, now available on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and Apple Podcasts. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of the podcast. It has been a long time since I have said that sentence. I know that it has been like 5 months since I last put out an episode of the podcast. So before we dive into anything today, a little bit of an update on why the podcast kind of stopped being. In October, I moved up to Washington, D.C. to take a job at MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM as an associate producer. So during that time, I was focusing on a new job, a new city, getting settled in there. And I kind of let the podcast go. But with this whole COVID-19 pandemic that's going on, I'm back at home in Harrisonburg with my parents for the time being, quarantined down here in Virginia. And I don't really have anything else going on, so I decided to get back into the podcast and get it going again. And so that's what we're doing this week. Recently, I have been working on some blog posts. I've amped up the blog on the website a little bit. Started writing about baseball, baseball movies, baseball music, and beer and cocktails and everything that goes along with baseball. So you can check out the blog posts right here at foulballarea.com. If you need a drink while you're quarantined at home or while you're just listening to me drone on about baseball for the next half an hour, check out the quarantine cocktail series or my beer reviews for beer recommendations and make yourself a drink while you're stuck at home during these unprecedented times. So with that out of the way, let's get into a little bit of baseball stuff. The big news this week is sadly Al Kaline passed away on Monday. The Hall of Famer, Mr. Tiger, as they called him, passed away at the age of 85. He was in the Hall of Fame class of 1980, played his entire career with the Detroit Tigers. He had 3,007 career hits, 399 home runs. He was an 18-time All-Star, 10-time Gold Glove winner, and a World Series champion with the Detroit Tigers. So rest in peace to Mr. Al Kaline. He will surely be missed around the baseball world. Now, one of the blog posts that I put out last week was regarding summer baseball leagues. And if you know me, you know that I've spent the past 3 summers in summer baseball leagues, twice working for the Rockingham County Baseball League. And last summer, I worked for the Valley Baseball League. I was the broadcaster for the Harrisonburg Turks in the Valley League. So summer league baseball is something that's very near and dear to me. I love it. It is a great thing. It's great for the players to get some, you know, extra reps, get out there in front of major league scouts, get their names out there, get noticed. It's great for the communities. It's a way to come together, a way to enjoy each other's company, just to have a fun, enjoyable, inexpensive night out during the summer. And it's great for people like me who want to get into sports media. It's a great opportunity to get practice as a broadcaster, a writer, a photographer, marketing, social media. All kinds of internships are available in summer baseball leagues. So it is something that I love very much. It is great for so many reasons. And it, like every other aspect of life, is in danger this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So I wrote an article about that last week because it's very sad. And the Valley Baseball League has decided to cancel its 2020 season. It's the first summer collegiate league to make that decision this year. It decided to cancel the 2020 season. And my understanding is that it's due to the fact that the league uses host families. So these college baseball players come in from all over the country. They descend on the Shenandoah Valley, and most teams put them with host families during the summer. So they stay with a local family that provides them housing during the season. And due to this pandemic and the spread of this disease, the league is trying to protect the host families and the players and the fans. And so they decided to just go ahead and cancel the season. And it's a very sad decision. It's a very tough decision that they had to make. But every manager and coach that's been asked about it and quoted in the newspapers and in the TV news has said that it was the right call to make. It's really sad. It's really terrible that we're going to have to go an entire summer without Valley League baseball. But it is the right call, and it had to be done. It's a terrible thing that we're not going to have Valley League baseball this summer. I don't know what I would have done last year without the Valley League. I had a great experience working with the Harrisonburg Turks, me and Rodrigo Aviles as the broadcasters for the Turks last summer. It was a great experience. It was a really fun time. And these summer leagues all across the country, such as the Valley League, the Northwoods League, the Cape Cod League, the Coastal Plain League, they all provide the players, the interns, and the fans with a great experience. And so now is the time to really stay home. Follow social distancing guidelines. Stay at home. Don't go out in public unless you absolutely have to, because there's still a chance that the rest of these leagues could play their seasons. The Valley League has already called it, but there's still a chance that the rest of these leagues could still play their seasons. So while we're on the topic of summer collegiate leagues, we've got a pretty cool guest today. I'm excited for this. Kind enough to join me now on the podcast is the one and only David Cunningham, a former classmate of mine at Virginia Tech, and he is going to be the voice of the Peninsula Pilots of the Coastal Plain League this upcoming season. David, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
I'm excited to talk a little bit of baseball and just what's going on. And I know we haven't talked in a while, so this will be interesting.
Yeah, it's good to catch up. And we were just talking a little bit before we started recording. You're still down in Blacksburg. Classes, obviously in-person classes are canceled. Everything is online now. What is life like in Blacksburg now? Have you gone out at all for just grocery shopping or anything like that? And is it eerie? Are there people still going out? What is it like?
Yeah, it kind of is eerie. You said it best. There aren't many people out and about at all. It's funny, I went and got cookout drive-thru last night. I hadn't really eaten out in a long time, probably like a week. And I've been going to Kroger occasionally. I live over, right behind Kroger on University City Boulevard, so I can just walk right over. But besides that, like, you know, if you drive around yesterday, I mean, there was probably two other cars in the cookout drive-thru yesterday, which you never see that happening, especially at like 10 o'clock at night in Blacksburg. Even over the summer, like when I've been here over the summer, that just doesn't happen. Kroger, there's still been a good amount of people in Kroger, but it the town's just dead. You know, there aren't many people out and about, and I can't blame them. I mean, I'm glad people are doing the right thing, but it's just a really weird feeling. And for the most part, I've stayed inside and social distanced myself from others, but it's a weird time, man. I never thought that, you know, when I was at the ACC tournament and seeing this, the tournament get canceled right in front of my eyes, that 4 weeks later I'd be looking and going, oh my God, you know, everything's shut down. And there's really no reason to be in Blacksburg. I'm probably going to go home soon.
Yeah. So walk me through that ACC tournament a little bit, because you went down to Greensboro for the women's tournament, back up to Blacksburg to finish out classes before spring break, then went back to Greensboro for the men's tournament. And it seemed like it was a little weird there when everyone wasn't really sure if it was going to get canceled, and the teams were coming out to warm up in the last game that was supposed to be played right before they called it. What was that experience like?
Yeah, well, first of all, the women's tournament is so cool. It was such a great experience. I was down there with Tyler Katz, Andy Losey, and then Liam Smith. And the four of us, we had a really grand old time. I was also down there with Robbie Fletcher. But we just had fun. There's not as much media, so the media seating, which is courtside in Greensboro, it's basically, you know, pick whatever seat you want, and which was really enjoyable. We got really good seats for pretty much every game, so that was a really cool experience. It's really a lot more laid back, obviously, than the men's tournament is, not as much media, so, you know, you can get a lot of questions in. I really enjoyed watching other teams play. I think that's probably the beauty of it, is you get to watch so many different teams play, not just, you know, the one or two teams you've been covering all year. I literally turned around. I'm trying to think. The women's tournament was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the last week of class here. and then spring break was the following week. So I came back Sunday night from the women's tournament, and then I went back down Tuesday morning. I went back down with all the guys for the men's tournament, and we were down there for the men's tournament Tuesday, and then we came back home Thursday because that's when it got canceled. But it was really weird just to see everything transpire in person. Tuesday, nobody thought of anything, and then Wednesday, you know, in the early morning, I was actually calling the early morning game on 3304 with Kevin DiDomenico, and I looked at Twitter, obviously, and I see these notifications rolling in about how schools are potentially canceling class, and it was really, or moving to online class, I should say, and it was really weird to think about. And then later in the late session, you've got the NBA suspended their season, but everything transpired pretty much in the late session. I wasn't even really paying attention to the Syracuse North Carolina game, one because Syracuse was blowing them out, but but also because there was so much stuff outside of the arena going on. That was the last basketball game of the season, one of them, and I was right there and got to see it. Then Thursday morning, everybody came into the arena. John Swafford had a press conference. I got to catch the last little bit of it, and he basically said that they're going to try to play the games. And then the teams came out onto the court, and then they went back into the locker room, and they didn't come back out. And all the media members, it was weird. We're all standing kind of just, you know, over on the sideline or over behind the basket, just standing there, you know, and then there's so many of them talking to each other, going, you know, this, they have to cancel, right? And eventually they did, and, you know, John Swafford brought Florida State and Clemson back out and awarded Florida State as the automatic, the champion, and then, which would give the ACC their automatic qualifier. But it was just so weird to see everything in person. You know, I was like 5 feet away from John Swafford. That's not something you could say all the time, and that's when he announced it. I think I actually hopped into some of like Jay Billis's shots, like in the background. But it was such a cool experience, even though, you know, obviously everything went south. It was cool to be there, and I'll definitely remember it. But it's so historical. I think everybody got really good experience from it, even though, you know, we only got the broadcast six games, and that we would have got eight more, I think. It's frustrating, but at the end of the day, you know, that was an historical moment in itself, and obviously we can't really change what's going on in the world, but yeah, I mean, the tournaments are, it's an unbelievable experience. And if you had told me at the women's tournament that in a few days the men's tournament was going to be canceled, I would have told you were crazy, because during the women's tournament, nothing was even brought up about it at all. And 4 days later, the men's tournament's canceled, and it still amazes me.
Definitely an interesting experience, I'm sure. I was working at Sirius on our midday show that Wednesday and Thursday when everything started getting canceled, and I mean, that's all we were talking about. You know, it was the middle of spring training, a few weeks to the scheduled opening day, and all we could talk about was COVID-19 and what was getting canceled. And it's just a very interesting time, especially to be in sports media with no sports going on right now.
Yeah, it's really weird. Both of us, I'm glad, we talked about this beforehand, but I mean, I'm glad you still have a job. You didn't get laid off, and you're just hanging out in Harrisonburg. It's weird. I'm in Blacksburg. This is the first time anybody, I think, is really hearing of this, but I got an email this morning from Strategic Communications at Virginia Tech, and the media is going to have a chance to speak with Whit Babcock and Justin Fuente on Wednesday, the 8th, tomorrow. So that'll be interesting. That'll actually give people something to write about. The only other person we've actually had a chance to get in contact with is Kenny Brooks, and that was interesting. That was a couple – I want to say that was 2 weeks ago. That was a while ago, but it's weird because, you know, I feel like I should be writing about this, writing about what the athletes are going through, but I just don't have any motivation. It's weird.
Yeah, definitely. definitely weird. Let's talk about your summer plans a little bit, because you were supposed to be the broadcaster for the Peninsula Pilots of the Coastal Plain League this summer if they end up playing their season. Of course, the Valley Baseball League just canceled its season last week, so we'll talk about that in a second. But I've never really known you to be a big baseball fan. It seems like your expertise is really in football, basketball, and soccer. So how did you end up with this position with the Pilots?
Well, so it's my hometown team. The stadium is 15 minutes away from my house in Yorktown, Virginia. It's based out in Hampton. And I grew up actually going to games there. It's funny that I think about it now, because I've never really been a huge baseball guy. I've always enjoyed baseball, but it wasn't my top sport or the sport I knew like the back of my hand. And my roommate, actually, his name's Ryan, he interned with the Pilots 2 summers ago and knew everybody. And I became in contact with, or I connected with, I should say, 2 years ago when he was there. I connected with Killian McClatchy, who was the broadcaster for the Pilots at that point in time. I connected with him, and we just held this, you know, we've had a pretty good relationship. And, you know, he left after last year, and he's now at Charleston Southern. And he reached out to me, and this was when I was kind of looking around for, you know, I didn't even really know what internships I was looking around for. I was hoping to hear back from some others. And he reached out to me, this is probably beginning of January, and said, hey, you know, I've listened to, you know, your highlights and parts of your reel and stuff. And that's a big shout out to 3304 right there, because one of the things we've been doing is tweeting out highlights more, and everybody puts a highlight tape together after a broadcast, and that's what gains you some traction. But he texted me and said, you know, I saw your highlight reel, I really liked it. Obviously it was basketball, but you know, the Pilots are looking for a broadcaster for the summer. I think you'd be perfect for the job. You know, let me know if you want any details. And this was, I want to say back in January, but maybe it was earlier than that. And I followed up on it. I talked to him about it more. Then I emailed this guy, Alex. He's the GM. And we really hit it off. We had a really good conversation. And, you know, like you said, I'm not as knowledgeable in baseball as I am other sports, but I enjoy the game. And, you know, Alex basically offered me the job when we had our first, you know, phone call / interview. And, you know, he really convinced me about the culture around the organization. And, you know, I always grew up going to games, like I said. So it was honestly, I don't want to call it a match made in heaven, but it kind of was. You know, I'll be able to work from home again this summer. And I'll be able to get a ton of play-by-play reps, assuming nothing happens with the season. But this is a really cool opportunity, and, you know, it's in a really good league. That league is really talented. Lots of good college players, and I'm going to get really good experience. So nothing else, it wasn't based on anything else that panned out or didn't pan out for me. I honestly just made the decision and was like, yeah, you know, I like this. You know, this is a really good opportunity for me. You know, I've been writing and doing other stuff the last couple years. And I thought about it and was like, well, you know, if I really want to see whether or not I want to go into play-by-play, this might be the time. And hopefully everything pans out. You know, obviously the Valley League canceled their season, like you said earlier, but I'm still holding out hope.
Yeah, like you said, the Coastal Plain League is a very good league. And Nathan LaPrete, another guy out of Virginia Tech, he spent a couple summers for the Martinsville Mustangs in the Coastal Plain League. So a couple of Virginia Tech guys working in that league. And so, yeah, the Valley League canceled their season last Thursday. They announced that they were going to cancel the 2020 season. What was your reaction when you heard that news? Were you thinking about if there could be kind of a domino effect that would lead to the CPL making a decision?
Yeah, I was. And I don't know if you saw it, but late that afternoon or late that evening, the CPL announced, they released a statement and basically said that they're just going to keep looking at it. And that honestly kind of gave me a little bit of hope. Shelton Moss, he was actually supposed to be the voice of the Harrisonburg Terps this summer. And so his season got wiped out. And then I had conversations with Evan Hughes, who obviously is up in Minnesota. And then I was thinking about myself and then Jake Lyman, who's going to be with Forest City. And then Andy Losey, he's going to Martinsville following in Nathan's footsteps. So, you know, there's three of us in the Coastal Plain League. And I honestly just thought, oh, my God, you know, this is a possibility. I figured it would happen sooner or later. But then the CPL came out and said, you know, we're still waiting on it. We're not going to make any hasty decisions yet. So, you know, with everything that's happening, I'm just not really sure what to expect at this point. I feel like, you know, the season, I'm leaning towards the season might get canceled. That's just my thought. But fingers crossed that we get to play a season because, you know, I want to get some really good experience. But yeah, it was definitely a, oh my God moment. This is really happening. And I feel really bad for Shelton because he was really devastated when he found out that that was his league. But I'm just holding out hope for the Coastal Plain League.
Yes, yeah, I'm sure you are. I really hope that they get their season in, that you get that experience in that summer as a play-by-play voice. From what I understand, the reason behind the Valley League canceling was that when all these players come in from all over the country, they stay with host families in the area, and so there was concern about exposing the host families to the virus with the players bringing it with them. Does the CPL use host families, or is that a concern they could have as well?
Yeah, CPL does use host families, so I didn't even think about that aspect. Obviously, you're more knowledgeable on the subject than I am, but yeah, that's a big. Not, I don't know if it's as big, but players definitely use it. Obviously, I don't think there are any players out of the country or anything that play in the Coastal Plain League, but there are a lot of kids from across the country that come and play. And I think they do stay with host families around the area. And there are a lot of, from what I've talked to with Killian and Alex, the former, or the GM, there are a lot of families around the Pilots that are involved that every year they have, you know, a different player, because they're host families. They've been host families for a while now. So I guess that could be a really impacted, because obviously you don't want to spread it with having another, you know, a player or somebody from a completely different area of the country potentially stay with you.
Yeah, it is definitely a concern. So we'll be watching that. Like you said, CPL said that they're continuing to monitor the situation. So hopefully they'll be able to get, you know, the whole season or at least some of the season in, and you'll get some reps as that play-by-play voice. David, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt. Glad you're doing well, and I look forward to talking to you in the future. Fingers crossed that the CPL gets some game and the other baseball leagues around the country can continue their season, but who knows what the future holds.
All right, David, thanks again for joining me, and stay safe out there. So David Cunningham, future voice of the Peninsula Pilots of the Coastal Plain League, joining us on Foul Ball Area today. Hopefully they will get their season in. Like we said, the Valley League has already canceled its 2020 season, but there's still a possibility that the rest of these summer baseball leagues could get their seasons in, and I really hope they do, because a summer without baseball would just not be fun. Switching gears a little bit to professional ball, Major League Baseball, all kinds of rumors swirling around there, wondering what they're going to be doing in the 2020 season. Everything at this point is kind of speculation. Nobody really knows what's going to happen, when anything is going to happen. Everything's kind of just speculation right now. But Jeff Passan of ESPN, he's a pretty credible reporter, usually pretty on top of things, and he reported that Major League Baseball is eyeing a plan to play at stadiums in Phoenix and the surrounding area with no fans in attendance and shooting for a May opening day. They would use Chase Field and spring training facilities and a few other fields around the area. And apparently federal officials at the CDC and the National Institutes of Health have supported this plan. Major League Baseball did release a statement yesterday in response to that story by Jeff Passan, they said, MLB has been actively considering numerous contingency plans that would allow play to commence once the public health situation has improved to the point that it is safe to do so. While we have discussed the idea of staging games at one location as one potential option, we have not settled on that option or developed a detailed plan. While we continue to interact regularly with governmental and public health officials, we have not sought or received approval of any plan from federal, state, and local officials or the Players Association. The health and safety of our employees, players, fans, and the public at large are paramount, and we are not ready at this time to endorse any particular format for staging games in light of the rapidly changing public health situation caused by the coronavirus. So Jeff Passan of ESPN reporting that MLB is looking at a May start date, playing games in the Phoenix area, no fans, every team, all 30 teams playing their games in the Phoenix area. And he reported that they had support from the CDC and the NIH of this plan. Now, Major League Baseball's statement clearly contradicts that. They said they're looking at possible situations, but they have not settled on one, and they don't have official approval from any governmental regulatory body. So, like I said, everything is kind of speculation at this point because no one knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where we're going to play baseball, if we're even going to play baseball. Nobody really knows what exactly is going to happen this season. Personally, for me, I would rather them wait until June just to try to wait it out and try to have a more normal opening day. Obviously, nothing about this is normal, but I'd like to see them wait until June, try to have a normal-ish opening day with fans in attendance and play a normal schedule. The teams playing at their home stadiums, fans in attendance. Obviously, it'd be a shortened season, but I don't really like this idea of having every team play all in the same area, no fans, just to try to get as many games in as they can. So I'd rather them wait until June, try to get everything started then, and try to have somewhat of a normal season. Now, you do have to get baseball in if you can. So if this option in Arizona is the only viable option, then I would support it. Passan does say in his article that Major League Baseball officials realize that the only alternative to this Arizona plan is a summer without baseball. So if that is the only option, then I would support it. But if there are other options available, I'd rather them wait until later in the summer and try to get the season started then so we can have a real opening day. You know, I've been thinking that everything going on right now, no sports, no public gatherings of any kind, everyone quarantined at home, everything going on right now, it kind of sucks. And having no baseball just adds on to that. So I've been thinking that when we get baseball back and when we have opening day, I've been thinking about how great it will feel to go out in public again, to join 30,000 people, but only if it's safe, at a baseball field, sing and take me out to the ball game, having a hot dog and peanuts, and watching your favorite team take the field for the first time in 2020. Opening day will feel so much better this year if we get it. So that's my thoughts on the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Real quick before we wrap up today's episode, an RCBL update for those of you out there that are RCBL fans. The league released a statement on Monday night saying that the Rockingham County Baseball League is planning to play its 2020 season. The league was originally scheduled to begin the season on May 22nd, but has pushed the start date back to June 12th in accordance with Governor Northam's stay-at-home order that lasts through June 10th. So there will be some sort of shortened season starting June 12th. There will not be an All-Star game in order to make up games during the All-Star weekend. And other notable news, the roster sizes have increased from 27 players to 30 players for the upcoming season. And each team is now allowed to have 4 additional free agents, but those free agents must attend one of the colleges within the league's geographic footprint. And those colleges include Eastern Mennonite, Bridgewater, James Madison, VMI, Washington and Lee, Mary Baldwin, Shenandoah, and UVA. So players at any of those colleges are welcome in the RCBL. So hopefully the RCBL will be able to go forward with this plan and play its 2020 season. It will be a shortened season. It'll be different than usual. But that's just the way that the world is right now. And you've got to take what you can get. If there's a way that we can get baseball in the Shenandoah Valley, I'll take it. All right, that wraps up today's episode of Foul Ball Area. Thank you all so much for listening. I appreciate you tuning in. Reminder to stick around the website and check out some of the blog posts around here. Yesterday was National Beer Day, so check out my posts about that and my beer reviews. I had a couple of good ones yesterday, so check those out. And make sure to check out my National Beer Day playlist, because we're all stuck at home. We've got nothing to do unless you're working from home. But even if you are working from home, you're still stuck at home. So just put on that playlist, crack open a beer, and enjoy yourself. We'll see you next week right here on Foul Ball Area.